Hallelujah. Sure appreciate you being here on a Wednesday night. Glory to God. Go with me to Mark chapter 11. You know, this is like a feeding time for us. Amen. Praise God. Like going to a gourmet restaurant. Hallelujah. Where the ingredients are good. Praise God. Special flavors here tonight. Praise God. The Holy Ghost, Word of God. My goodness. Mark 11, 24. Father, we are so honored to be in your presence tonight. Jesus, gathered around your word, which is really, by faith, when we gather around the word, we're just gathered around you, Father. And so we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And Father, I know that we all have come from different places tonight. What I mean by that is we've all maybe worked today or had things we had to do, have things we have to do when we go home. Busy days tomorrow, busy weeks. But Father, we don't take lightly the word of God. We understand by faith that our flesh and our minds might not be as in tune, but our spirit is pulling up to the dinner table. And Father, one word from you can change the entire course of our life. And Father, I thank you that this is not some ho-hum, average, mundane, repetitive Wednesday night service. We reverence the fact that your word is power, that the Holy Ghost is here, that Jesus, you're here. And that means that there is potential for great things to happen. So we're in expectation of wonderful things. We thank you for utterance tonight. We thank you for boldness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know what that's called, praying like that? It's called stirring yourself up.
That's right.
Amen. Because, I was talking with somebody on Sunday, and I don't know if they were surprised when I said this, but they said, they were blessed on Sunday morning. They said, we didn't feel like coming on Sunday, but they did come. They didn't give in their feelings. I said, well, man, join the club. You think I feel like coming to church all the time? I'm in church more than anybody, right? So you think I feel like doing that all the time? I don't feel like it, but you know what? I do it because it's right. Amen. And it's the same with a lot of these things. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. And sometimes you just got to tell your flesh. That's part of being a mature spiritual Christian, right? When we were talking about the mind and the flesh, we're not going there tonight, but just to kind of help you here, this is a little appetizer, I guess you'd say, is you just stir yourself up. How do you stir yourself up? With the tongue is the mixer.
Amen.
Your tongue is the mixer to get things stirred up. And it said mixing faith with the word. Well, how do you mix it? You mix it with your tongue, and you stir yourself up and you bring yourself into remembrance, by saying that Jesus is here, by saying that the Holy Spirit's here, by saying the word is powerful. You're putting yourself in remembrance. You're raising the expectation within yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And do that at home. When you start to get down, start to get discouraged, start to get frustrated, stir yourself up. Pace the floor. Praise God. Having the word of God in your mouth, stirring it up, mixing it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we're blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
Let's see what Jesus has for us tonight. Mark chapter 11, in verse 24, it says this, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I made mention to this verse last week, and it seemed good in my heart to build upon this verse this week. I didn't get much other than this verse in my heart when I was praying, and so we're going to just kind of see where the Holy Ghost leads us tonight. But the one thing that we see with this verse, we talked about worry last Wednesday, and we saw that one of the things that gets people into worry when it comes to faith is trying to figure out how what they're believing for can come to pass. And in this verse, we clearly see that there's four parts. There's desiring, there's praying, there's believing that we receive them, and then there's the you shall have them. And we've studied and looked at this before, that three out of those four are our parts, right? Yeah. To desire, to pray, and to believe. But the fourth part, the ye shall have them, that's the part where we take our hands off. That's God's part, amen?
Amen.
And a lot of times people can get tripped up because this was a prayer of faith, to receive from God. The Bible says you have to be unwavering, that you can't be a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, right? Tossed to and fro with the wind and the sea, believe in one thing one day, believe in another thing another day. We have to be unwavering. The Bible says in the book of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Now that's what the Bible says. And so faith to receive from God's word is the persuaded, non-staggering, full belief, sold out to what God has said. I believe it's coming no matter what. Well, if you're going to have that faith, you're going to have to take your mind off of the how. When it comes to faith, you're going to have to be consumed with the right thing. You know, I don't, if you read the Monday Mountain Movers, you'll see I put this on there this week, but it's worth repeating. You know, I had a paper route when I was younger. It's funny for with me, I came full circle. I started off very responsible as a young child, had a job. That's why all of the things that Pastor Tim and I did when we were younger, the Jamestown pastor, I funded that guy's childhood. And it's true, I did. I saved my money. I had a job. I was faithful as a paper to deliver papers to save my Christmas and birthday money, and I funded two running away trips. Sometime maybe we'll have him in here to tell the story. He's the far better storyteller of the friends. Funded so many different trips and different things we did. One time I called him up, and you'll have to get the story from him. And I said, let's go to Colorado. Hike around the Rocky Mountains. His first question was, where are you going to get the money? I said, my student loan money just came in. He then said, I got finals. It's finals week. I said, I don't care what you got to do. I will pay for the trip. He said, let me get on the horn. And that guy missed his finals and went to Colorado with me. Not sure how he did it, but he did it. Praise the Lord. But I paid for the whole thing. So I had a paper route, and then I got unfaithful for a while as I got to be a teenager, straight away, and just kind of became not much character, not much integrity. Couldn't hold a job in that. That's where you get the 26 jobs in 2 years. And then I got Jesus and became faithful again. So we're back to the faithfulness. But back then I had a paper route. And the one thing about the paper route is you had to deliver papers no matter what the weather was, no matter what it was doing outside. And people expected their papers, and especially, it was after school I would deliver them. People wouldn't get them until the afternoon. Now they deliver them in the morning, but of course back then I couldn't do that, and they didn't expect you to do it back when I was doing it. But then on Saturdays you'd have to deliver them in the morning, and Sundays you'd have to deliver them in the morning. And no matter what the weather was, and a lot of times you'd go from neighborhood to neighborhood, and you would have to walk up somebody's walkway or walk up somebody's driveway. And when it's first thing in the morning in the wintertime, a lot of times those driveways and those sidewalks are not plowed, and it makes it a little tougher to get there. And what I wrote in the Facebook thing concerning this verse is, it would not be a normal thing or a smart thing for me to have my papers, have them in the bag, and have to deliver them on a certain time, to stop at each person's house and shovel out their driveway for them or shovel out their walkway. Number one, that wouldn't be my job. Number two, that would get me in trouble with my customers, correct? Because it would take me a lot longer to do. Well, it's the same way with faith. There's things that we have to do with faith. We have to desire, we have to pray, we have to believe we receive, but we don't have to worry about how it's going to come to pass. That's on His end. But too many times, people get consumed with that part of faith, and they can't grasp it in their mind. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. He didn't say you have to try to figure out how it's going to come to pass, because if that were the case, we might not ever receive anything. Because there's been things that I have gone through that I had no idea how they were going to turn out, and then there's been things that I'm still facing, no idea how they're going to turn out, but I know that God said that they will, and that's not my job to figure that out. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And so we need to learn to be consumed with the right thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. If we get consumed with the how, I'm going to tell you what to be consumed with tonight that will help you. Romans chapter 4. Because if you become consumed with this one thing, it will take your faith to a different level. Isn't that what we want? You know, the Bible talks that there's different levels, there are different amounts. Faith is measurable. The Bible says in Romans that He's given us a measure of faith. We see in the Bible there's great faith, there's little faith, there's no faith, there's a lot of faith, there's small faith, weak faith, there's a whole bunch of different measurables in there. Well, I want mine to be great faith. And if we would become consumed, and this kind of piggybacks on what we talked about Sunday a little bit in one of the points, if we'll become consumed with this, and I'll get to it in a little bit, our faith will go to a different level. And so Romans chapter 4 in verse 19, talking about Abraham, it says, and being not weak in faith. Now, we're going to find out what weak faith does and what weak faith gets consumed with. It said he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what's it talking about? It's talking about having a baby and the future son or the promise of Isaac. So the Bible says he did not consider his body or Sarah's body. Well, let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. When it comes to making a baby, what needs to be considered naturally? A man and a woman, right? That's the how, isn't it? So what the Bible's saying is Abraham would have been weak in faith had he considered or been consumed with the how. But he said he wasn't weak in faith, and he didn't consider. When he says he didn't consider his body, he said, I'm not considering the how this is going to happen. Because if I dabble into the natural of the how, I'm telling you, it can't happen. I'm 100, and she's 90, and her womb is dead. But he said, the Bible says he didn't become consumed. He didn't become caught up or consider the how. He didn't have to worry about that, did he? No. It says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Well, there it is again. He didn't stagger through unbelief. What would have been unbelief? Trying to figure out the how. What does that look like for your own life? Well, God's promised you financial blessings, hasn't he? He's promised that all your needs can be met. He's promised you to live an abundant heaven on earth life, which is prosperity plus enough to have left over to give into every good work. Well, your life might not look like that right now. And your bills stacked up on your bills table might not look like that right now. And your paycheck that you're making, or your once a month payment if you're retired, if you get a pension or whatever it is, might not look like that's possible. They're making cuts at work. They're telling you this is that's going to be. Well, when you start considering, how am I going to get my bills paid? Am I going to consider and stagger around and wait around in unbelief, which is, well, my money isn't enough, my paycheck isn't enough. That's called wavering and waddling around in unbelief. You can't consider that. It's the same thing with divine healing, right? You've been given a promise. He will meet and supply all your needs, not only financially, but in your body. He said he not only forgives your iniquities, but heals all your diseases. He says by his stripes, you are healed. Well, you might be considering what your body's saying. Your body's telling you that you're not. Your doctor's report's telling you that you're not. That thing you've looked up, grandma or grandpa, or the person that you talk to that has the same thing, they're telling you. And if you start thinking, well, if I can't have my healing because of that, that's called wavering around in unbelief. That's being consumed with the wrong thing. That's being consumed with the how. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice this, verse 21, and being fully persuaded. So he wasn't consumed with the how, but he got persuaded and consumed with something else, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So somewhere along the journey, Abraham became consumed or started to stop considering the how and just became consumed with what was told he could have.
That's right, yeah.
He said he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So he got convinced in his mind by the promise. And so what we're talking about tonight to take your faith to another level, if you're consumed with the how, you'll have weak faith. The Bible tells us that. But if you can become consumed with the Word of God, I mean totally sold out and consumed with the Word, that's when your faith will go to a different level. Because when you become consumed with the Word, then the natural doesn't matter. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 14. I have seen people struggle mightily because you know what I found, and this is too bad, and this is maybe why I've had some success with faith, and I'm saying God working through my faith. To me, it's not a hard thing to believe God.
I just know
he's God and he can do anything if I put my faith in him, praise
Amen.
God. But you know who have a hard time believing God are smart people.
Yeah, come on.
Real analytical people that are in their heads and, you know, they you know, very book smart. I'd say that's across the board this way. But what I found is people that really struggle, have a hard time, are the ones that are really naturally minded, where they're real smart, book smart, very intelligent. You know, they can figure everything out on a paper and math problems and stuff like that. That's when people struggle. And I have seen people, for example, let me give you an example. You know, one way to financial freedom is through the obedience of God's word.
Amen.
Through, you know, we have people in this room right now that will testify that the beginning to their financial freedom and the blessings they have was when they started tithing. Jobs opened up, houses opened up, and blessings opened up, vehicles and different things like that, and favor and stuff like that. Well, it all started at the obedience of God's word. And I'm talking about people that came from churches, Christians, that were born again on their way to heaven but never had heard about tithing or what to do with their money, started doing different things with their money and started seeing different things change for them and blessings, and they're in financial, you know, blessing right now. And so that's one of the ways. But I've dealt with people before who are so in debt, maybe with student loans or different things coming up in life, and they don't understand in their mind. They see writing out a tithe check when they got, so they have the pile of debt over here. They got their supply here. And the Bible says to write up the tithe check, write offerings, or obey your heart, whatever God says for you to do. And they can't figure out in their head. They're trying to get their debt paid off. They can't figure out how they're going to get their debt paid off. God tells them how to be blessed financially, but because they can't figure out how giving out of themselves is going to take care of this, they see with this as this is going to be a problem when this is going to take care of that problem. But because they're so consumed with the how, and just instead of being completely consumed with what he said in his word. I remember when I was at Pastor Nancy's, well, this is when Dr. Dufresne was still alive. It would have been camp meeting of in the wintertime, I believe it was, in January, the Holy Ghost meetings. And there was an offering we were going to take up, and I was going to give to it personally and from the church. Now, this was when we were getting ready to buy that building over there that we're connected to. We were still in the storefront. And we only had, I believe at the time, you know, just a little bit of money in the checking account, and we're getting ready to buy a building. And naturally, you know, this, you could even say it this way too. Naturally, it didn't look like a smart buy for the church in terms of what you have, what's going to go out. But God said it, amen?
Amen.
And so there again is getting consumed. What did God say? What are you going to do? But anyways, I remember being in the meeting and getting ready to sow an offering, and the offering that I had purposed in my heart to sow from the church was very generous. And I was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost came upon me in that service, wasn't even talking about offerings, just preaching. And he said, in that offering, I want you to give this. And it was five times the amount of what I had purposed. The Holy Ghost said to give towards this thing. And it was actually 1/4 of all the money the church had. Now, again, you better hear from God when you're doing these things. But I knew I had heard from heaven. I knew I heard from heaven. And so I have a choice at that point. I'm trying to buy a building, trying to get into a building, yet you're going to give 1/4 of the church's money away when you're going to buy a building? Well, yes, if God says so, because it didn't look like I could do it naturally, but I didn't get consumed with how in the world are we going to get this building, how are we going to pay for this building. I just got consumed with what God said, did what God said, wrote the check and got it out of my hand, and within, I can't remember how many months it was, 12 times the amount of what I sowed came into the church and turned this whole thing around. Amen. But there again, if you're consumed, what if God speaks to you to do something? You know, a lot of times we don't understand that our way, sometimes you have to sow your way out of your financial problems. And I'm not saying that's all way to manipulate. I'm saying follow the Holy Ghost. But there's times that God understands that that seed that needs to be sowed will turn into the harvest that you need.
Amen.
Amen. I remember dealing with somebody, they had so much debt. And we had dealt with them to finally get them to start tithing, and they wouldn't give offerings. For years, they wouldn't give offerings. I kept saying, your harvest is dependent upon your offerings. Well, years went by, and then they needed a stash of money to pay off a certain bill, unexpected bill that came in thousands of dollars. And they came to me and were complaining. And when they did, the Holy Spirit said, that harvest would have been there for that money had they listened and sown the seed. But there's no seed in the ground. Now there's no harvest to pay that. And so now what ended up happening is the person then pulled back, stopped tithing, and ended up leaving the church, actually. Stopped tithing, stopped doing it. Why? Because they weren't listening to do what God was saying in the first place, couldn't figure out how the offerings were the answer to their problem. But that's just what God said. Stop trying to figure it out in your own head. Amen. Hallelujah. And I see people do that all the time. They get so consumed with the how, and then when the instruction comes that doesn't make sense to the how is going to be figured out, they don't follow even the instruction. And so when you get consumed with the how, it'll even cause you to stop obeying the word of God. Amen.
That's good.
I just got to obey Jesus. You know, please understand what I'm saying. This Paul said this. In Romans, he said, I magnify my office. He didn't say he magnified the man, but he magnified the office. And ladies and gentlemen, I planned to say this, but just dropped in my heart. You know that the Bible says that the shepherd, without a shepherd, you're scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, and distressed on this earth, right? That the shepherd, actually Jesus said, I've given gifts unto men. One of those gifts is the gift of the pastor. In fact, I just got a book sent to me in the mail, and I've read other things from this, but just to kind of confirm it so you can hear it from someone other than your pastor. Reverend Joel Siegel just wrote a new book called The Office. It's about all the ministry gifts. And I just was kind of looking through it as I was eating my breakfast this morning, and I was looking through the different ones, just kind of get an idea of what he was saying. And I got to the pastor one, and he said if you had to label one ministry gift as most important, it would by far be the pastor, is what he said in that book. Well, that's because Jesus didn't say you're scattered without a prophet or an apostle. But this is what I want to see when people just don't take God's word for it. A lot of times we can get very comfortable with our shepherd, right? And the fact that you see him every week, he's here, you're amongst his family and things like that. And when you start to get caught up in the natural mechanics of it and start thinking, well, that's just Pastor Mike, you know, he's just that guy who went to a Bible school and he just knows a little bit more of the Bible than me, and so he just tells me. When you start to look at it that way, the honor goes down. And we saw in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus said that the people in his own hometown didn't have any honor, well, what did they do with him? They took him from the gift that he was and made him just a natural man. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. I put my pants on the same way you do. I still have to use faith, but there is a gift on my life.
Amen.
And if you don't show up understanding and you just kind of show up with that natural mindset of the mechanics of it all, you won't truly receive from this gift. Amen. If you don't truly believe that your shepherd has a gift and that, you know, the Bible's in operation here and that he's going to come with your mail, you're not going to be excited to show up for your mail.
Right.
You're not going to make it a priority to show up for your mail. When you do show up, it's just going to be ho-hum. But no, see, when you come, understand, that's my gift. That's my visitation from God. Amen. Hallelujah. So whoever needed that, you know, again, we're not magnifying the man, but we are magnifying the office. And so Matthew 14 and verse 22, remember, we're talking about being consumed with the right thing. But the ship was now in the midst. Verse 22, I'm sorry. Yeah, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him on the other side. He sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and the evening was come, and he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed of the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said unto him, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto the water, invite me to come out. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Peter did the impossible here,
yes.
Didn't he?
Yes.
He did what, I mean, every bit of natural circumstance and situation was telling him no.
Right.
The water was telling him no. His experience as a professional fisherman was telling him, don't get out of the boat. Especially don't get out of the boat when the wind's contrary and the waves are bad. His buddies in the boat, he sees him talking to this thing they think is a ghost. They see him getting ready to step out. Can you imagine what they're saying? Ah! What are you doing?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Everything is telling him no, 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 no. But And we see that Peter actually got out of the boat and walked on the water. Now, do you think that Peter had ever walked on the water before?
No.
Do you think Peter had ever seen any of his buddies ever walk on the water?
No.
No. But Peter, some reason, was able to get out and defy the impossible. Why? He became consumed, not with the how, but he became consumed with what was said,
wow,
or the word. And what we're talking about tonight is if you become consumed with the word, it will overtake the how, praise God, and you'll enter into that great kind of faith. We look at the people in the Bible that had great faith. Think about Abraham. Go with me, we got to look at it because it's so important. Go to Genesis,
praise God,
chapter 22. All Peter became consumed with was the word, which was what? Come.
Yeah.
Come. Well, when did he get into trouble? When he started considering what was around him, and then his brain started working. Oh, my gosh, the waves are... I'm walking on water. How am I going to do this? He started to sink. But when he wasn't consumed with the how and just consumed with the word, when Peter heard the word come, that's all he needed.
Yeah.
And it totally... sprung him into a new level of faith. Why? The word, do you see that? The word sprung him to a level of faith that he had never been before. He was so consumed with that word, every bit of training that he had didn't matter. Every bit of what the waves and the wind was doing didn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, when you become so consumed with the word, it puts you on a different faith level. It puts you on a different faith level.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let's just hold our place here. Now go with me to Mark chapter 9, talking about a different faith level. I just got to follow the Holy Spirit tonight, where we're going. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Why do I need to be at a different faith level? Let me tell you why. Jesus said unto him, Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Your faith determines what your life looks like.
Amen.
Your faith determines what your life looks like. Why do we need to get you to a different level of faith? Because if we can't get you to great faith, we can never get you to great victories. If you always stay at small faith, you're always just going to have small victories, and thank God for the small victories. But my God, at times, there's things that come across our path that require great faith.
Amen.
But it all rests on you.
Right.
Praise God. If you can believe, well, I'm telling you tonight, if you can become consumed with the Word of God like Peter was, all the natural, what the bills are saying, what the economy's saying, what your job's saying, what the doctors are saying, what the natural's saying, will not matter if you just become consumed with the Word. And I'll help you with being consumed. Go with me back to Genesis 8:22. Genesis 22 in verse, we're going to skip down for time's sake. Genesis 22 and verse 13, or no, verse 12. Genesis 22, verse 12. Now remember, I just got done saying people that did great things, received great things in the Bible, were people that were only consumed with the Word of God, did not consider what the natural was saying. Genesis 22 and verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fearest God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So just to catch you up to verse 13, remember this is when God told Abraham, take your son Isaac, you know that son that you believed me for 25 years for, the one that you had to consider not your own body, stagger not through the promises of God through unbelief, but strong in faith. That son that you waited for, that promise I gave you, take him up onto the mountain and sacrifice him. And I'll tell you what, God had promised a lot of things that were going to come through Isaac's life, the covenant, you know, and his offspring be multiplied as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And so now he's saying, take your son and get up on that mountain and kill him. Now you tell me if your brain would start working overtime,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But People that did great things for God and got great things for God didn't consider the how. They were consumed only with the word. He didn't sit there and think, oh my gosh, how am I actually going to do this to him? How am I actually, if I do it to him, God's going to forever be a liar. Or if I do it to him, I'm going to have to watch God raise him from the dead. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead before. I mean, all these things. But see, what he didn't do is he didn't touch it in his mind. He just was consumed with the word, and he did it. And then it says in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said in the day, the mountain of the Lord shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. Now look at verse 16. This is the important part. And he said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. What was he saying? Because you did the word. Because you did exactly what I said. Because you became so consumed with the word. You didn't question me. You didn't wonder. You didn't stagger around in unbelief. You just did the word. Blessing, verse 17, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Because you became so consumed with my voice and only my voice and not the natural, you're going to a different level, Abraham. Hallelujah. Peter got to a different level of faith when the only thing he considered and became consumed with was the word of God. Go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I remember, I've told this story many times, but you know, we get newer people in at times, and faith comes by hearing and hearing. That's a verse we're going to right now. But when I left the farm to come and pastor this church and start that church, this church in the storefront. And of course, you know, I left my job and I pastored the church, stayed home with Caleb when he was born in June of 2010. It put us in quite a bind financially. It put us in a situation where we were 2,000, that's what it averaged out to be. Sometimes it was a little less, sometimes it was a little more. $2,000 a month short every single month of what we needed to pay. You know, it puts it in perspective to me. Sometimes people will come to me and have me talk about finances, and we'll do a budget and things, and we'll look at where we can catch some money that we can save and different things. And people will get a little fret, you know. They'll, Pastor, I only have a few hundred dollars extra every month. I'll say, my God, I'd have taken it. Yeah. I mean, just seriously, put yourself in that position. We think sometimes we got to use faith. $2,000 short every single month. And it just kept going that month after month after month. And so I remember when I first got it settled in my heart that Jesus was telling me to leave the job, pastor the church, stay home with him, her to keep her job. It was, and I knew that in my spirit that was what we were to do. Well, then I figured out the numbers, and I looked at the numbers. And it's okay to figure out the numbers, but man, don't look at the numbers too much. Yeah. You start getting a faith with the numbers. And your faith giant pastor went to my pastor at the Mexican restaurant in Fredonia and pretty much just tried to give him the sad song and beg him for a salary. Yeah. I didn't, you know, I just said, listen, I'm starting this church under your vision. I got a baby on the way. The Lord's telling me to leave so I can pastor the church. I had tried to get a third shift job, but my spirit said, don't do that. So I was stuck, right? I thought, well, I have one of two options, believe God or go ask for the salary. I'm going to ask for the salary. Because, want to know why? Because I couldn't figure out how.
Sure.
I could not figure out how you could make up $2,000 a month when you're not allowed to get an extra job, and that's how money comes when you have jobs.
Sure.
Right? And when you start a church for free. Right? I couldn't figure it out. So I went that route, and I remember asking him and saying, giving him the sad story. And it was like the next week or next Sunday I was in church, and service was ended. Everyone was dismissed, and he said, Pastor Mike, come here. He opened his Bible. He pointed it to it and walked away. I thought, oh boy, my answer's come. He's got something good for me. And I looked at the verse, and it was the verse where Jesus told the disciples, when I sent you out, I sent you out with nothing. And I wanted to say, where are you going? That's not, sir, that's the wrong verse. What about the workman's worthy of his wages? Or the ox that treads out the corn is worthy of eating the corn. But that was my answer. And I waddled around in that unbelief. And the only reason was because I could not. Now, here's the thing. When I got into faith, and when I wasn't in faith, my revelation of who God was and what God could do had not changed. I knew He was God. I knew He was powerful, right? I knew He was mighty. The only thing that and so that didn't change, but I could not figure out how in my situation that's going to come to pass. And I just waddled around trying to figure this out. And finally, the thing that set me over, because when I tell that story, people say, "My man, what a man of faith." Well, really, all faith really is, so we don't get boastful about our faith. All faith is someone that believes what God says.
Amen.
All faith is agreeing with Him.
That's
well,
so good.
I said, "I better." He's not giving me any money. I better get in the Word. Well, then I went to Philippians 4:19. That was my Savior during that time. And it said, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." Well, I got into that verse. Now, you're in Romans 10 and verse 17. Hold your place there and go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Now this is the part where we're switching over and engaging into how we become consumed with the Word and what it does for us. Now, we're going to kind of be flipping back and forth from Joshua 1, 8 to Romans 10, 17. But it says this, So I found a promise from God, Philippians 4, 19, and I did what the Word says. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So I started saying the Word. But you shall meditate. That means to mutter. That word meditate means to mutter. Day in and day out, or day and night, that you may observe to do all according as written therein. For then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So I got Philippians 4:19, and here I am in the doubt and unbelief category. Why? I'm consumed with the how, can't figure out the how, but I found a promise, and so I began to do what the Word said to do. Meditating in the Word day and night. Saying the Word day and night. Muttering the Word day and night. So I would lay in bed. I would pace my floors. I would feed Caleb when I would feeding times in that rocker. And I'd say, "My God shall supply all my needs. My God." And I would just say that verse over and over again. "My God." And I would meditate on that verse. Well, then something stood out to me. I said, "Wait a second. It says according to His riches and glory." So it doesn't matter what I have, what I don't have, what's coming in, what's not coming in. It's all based on His riches and glory. Now flip with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. And then I'm going to tell you how to become consumed with the Word of God.
Praise God.
Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith," there it is, "cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God." Well, didn't he just get done saying in Joshua that if you meditate in the Word day and night and then do the Word, then you'll have prosperity and good success? Well, the reason that is because there's a spiritual law here, ladies and gentlemen. When people say to me, "Pastor, I need more faith," I can't pray for them to get more faith. We can't wish more faith upon them. There's no magic formula for more faith. The way we get more faith is by being in the Word more and more and more. That's why he says that when you spend time in the Word, success is the outcome of it, because when you're in the Word more and more and more, what's happening is the spiritual law of Romans 10, 17. You might not know it, but when I'm pacing the floor saying, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory," and I'm in the Word, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory," I'm hearing and hearing the Word of God, and the Bible says that faith is coming, and it's the more I hear it, the more it's swooping in. And it's a spiritual law. And the more I'm meditating on it, the more I'm hearing it, the more it's building and building and building and building. And again, it's your faith that matters. Whether you rise and fall, it's your faith that matters.
Good word.
Well, I don't know if I could believe for $2,000 a month. You could if you heard enough Word.
Amen. Right. That's good.
How do you keep raising your faith? You could if you heard enough Word. Yeah. So he says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's why I hammer on being in your services to hear the Word of God. Meditating in the Word outside of here. So now go back with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. So remember, Abraham and Peter were not consumed with the how. They were only consumed with what the Word said.
Right.
The word told Abraham, you're having a baby. The word told Peter, come on and walk on the water. They were so consumed with the word, it didn't matter what the natural said.
Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, that spiritual law, Romans 10:17, if you'll put it to play in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, those things that are troubling you in the how and the how and the how and the how, just consume and dive in to the word. When the how starts to come, meditate on what the answer is. Because I'd say, my God shall supply all my needs. And the thought would come, yeah, but where are you going to get the money? Yeah, but where are you going to get the money? That's the how realm. I just don't have to worry about that. I'll just dive in with the word. My God will supply all my needs. And then faith rises up and trumps all those things.
Amen.
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. One way you become consumed with the word is speak it over and over and over and over and over. Be speaking the word. Be speaking the word. It was said of Brother Hagin when he was building, Dr. Efrain told this story, when they were building the Rhema campus. It didn't look like the banks were going to give him the money, and here he had already been told and given the vision out to his church. And I guess the way it went down was Brother Hagin one time was prophesying and was praying in tongues and speaking things out of his spirit. And he said, out of his spirit, we're going to start a Bible school. Well, they came to him after, and they said, you said we're going to start a Bible school here. He said, say, I didn't say that. They said, yes, you did. He didn't know what he had prayed out in English. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. He said, well, if I said it, I know I was praying out of my spirit. Then we got to do it. So he's announced that we're going to have a Bible school, and they're getting it ready and getting the land ready over in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and the banks, you know, multi-billion dollar projects, and it doesn't look like the banks are going to do it and come through with the money, and it's kind of looking naturally like there's no way, like it always does a lot of the times, right? But you know what? Faith is for the when it always does. That's what faith is for. Faith is for the realm of when it doesn't look like there's possibility. That's why we don't have to freak out. When it looks impossible, we have the answer to the impossible. How good do we have it? Even when it looks like it can't be done, we got the one thing that says it can, faith. Faith is the key, the one key that unlocks the magic box, right? Oh, we can't figure out the combination. Oh, but I got the key. It's called faith. Praise God. And so Dr. Dufresne would say he'd be out back with Brother Hagin after service, and he'd be sitting right close to him at the minister's dinner, and he'd hear Brother Hagin just sitting back like this, just kind of twiddling his thumbs, and he'd see his mouth moving. What in the world's he saying? What in the world's he saying? And so he started scooching in to hear what Brother Hagin was saying, and all he kept hearing Brother Hagin was saying is, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. All the money. He just, what was he doing? Saying it over. Why? Consuming himself with the word because the natural was so loud.
Yeah, wow, that's good.
People don't receive from God because, well, think about the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14. The ones that got in were because Caleb and Joshua were so consumed that God said they could have it. While the 2 million and the 10 spies were kept out because they were so consumed with the how. What do you mean we're going to have this land? There's a wall here. There's a city here. There's a fortress here. There's too many people here. How are we going to get in? How? And Caleb and Joshua said, we don't have to worry about the how. We are well able to overcome because God said so. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God said so. And Brother Hagin's sitting there. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. All the money. It'll come to pass. Here he is at a dinner. Just saying. Consume with the word. Well, the Bible says it should not depart out of your mouth. And that's what I'm telling you, that's what I did to get over into that great faith area during that test and trial. Man, any time a thought or any time I'd have to look at a bill or just be reminded, I'd say, all the money, it'll come. You know, I have certain trigger points, certain things that I guess that would trigger my saying. Like, for example, when I walk out to get the mail, I'm walking out there, I'll say, Father, I thank you, all the money I need, it's there, all the money I need. And I just say that the whole way out and back. Different times in my day, or if I get in my vehicle, making sure to say it. Why? I'm consumed more with the word. Because people that are consumed with the word, they go to a level of great faith. Because people that are consumed with the word don't give a rip about money. They don't give a rip about the natural. They don't give a rip about circumstances. All Numbers chapter 14 and the children of Israel was a bunch of fat circumstances standing in the way. But the word trumps them all. Praise God. So number one, be consumed with the word by speaking the word out of your mouth. Number two, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What's that? Just keeping the word constantly before you. You know what's crazy? Over there in Acts, when the Apostle Paul healed the man, Apostle Paul looked at the man and said, having perceived that the guy had faith to be healed, Paul was preaching. They said, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he said, stand up on your feet. Well, evidently, Paul was not preaching about money, because preaching about money will lead to faith about money. He wasn't preaching about how to sleep good at night, because that would be... Evidently, Paul was preaching about healing. The guy got healing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm confused by this. If you need money, and you can't tell me one verse you're standing on, you must not really want it that bad. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Now, I'm not saying to be able to quote the whole Bible and get up here and spout things off. But my God, doesn't everything come from his will?
Yes.
The only reason Peter could do what he did was because God approved it.
Right.
The only reason Abraham could do what he did was because God approved it. That's the word. Yes. The word is your foundation. Yes. The word is your platform. How are you believing in full faith for the money and you don't even have a platform or a foundation to stand on?
That's good.
And Paul said he had faith to be healed. Evidently, Paul was preaching on healing. If you need money, you ought to be meditating day and night on money scriptures, on financial scriptures. You ought to be listening to verses on that and listen to sermons. Meditate and muttering that in your mouth. If it's healing, you ought to keep something playing in your house concerning divine healing all the time. Turn your car into a Bible school. He said day and night, day and night. But man, we just, if pastor touches on it on Sunday or pastor touches on it on Wednesday, that's not great faith, people.
That's right.
Again, let's look at this verse for what it says, and let's not get mad at the preacher, but let's just take God at his word. The book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. That means saying it all the time. But you shall meditate, be in it, day and night, that you may observe to do. So there you go. There's another part about being consumed with the word. Doing the word. Doing the word is another exercise to being consumed with the word. But now look at this. According to all that is written in, I love that, next two words, for then. Now we all want the end of this verse. We all want our ways made prosperous. You know, prosperity is not just in your wallet.
That's right.
Prosperity is with your children. Prosperity is with your health. Prosperity is with your mind. Prosperity is with your emotions. Prosperity is with your feelings. Prosperity with your job and favor in the world. You know, you can have all the money in the world and have a life of hell on earth. People have proven that.
Yes.
People have absolutely proven that they can be absolutely tormented by demons and just have horrible stuff happen in their life and have all the money that anybody could ever spend in their life.
Right.
Prosperity is not just based on money. I mean, we want the money part too, but it's not just based on that. But look at this. We want the end. Your ways made prosperous and have good success in life. We want that, but are we willing to pay the price of the beginning part?
Yeah. Right.
A lot of people aren't willing to pay that price. And again, it doesn't come from a place of, well, I got to do this to get this. No, when you understand how faith works, the more you hear it, the more faith rises up. The more faith you have, the more victory you can have, the more success you walk into. Amen? So I encourage you as we close tonight, if you're struggling with the how or you're coming up against something that looks impossible, stop being consumed with the how and start being consumed with what he said, only what he said. How are you going to do that? You're going to speak it, and you're going to be in it, and you're going to do it. You're going to speak it, you're going to be in it, and you're going to do it. And you're going to do it all the time. If it means you got to shut your TV off, you're going to do it. If it means you got to change what you listen to on the way to work, you're going to do it. If it means you got to put around your desk different post-it notes, you're going to do it. Whatever you got to do to become consumed with the word, to get you to a new level of faith, you're going to do it. Because prosperity and good success matter to you, they matter to your family, and they matter to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We bless you tonight. We honor you tonight. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. We are blessed tonight. We thank you for your word. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you. Let's just worship him and love on him. Let's just worship him and love on him. We bless you. 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 Debbie, would you please put up Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. If you have a money problem, if you don't know how it's going to get done, right now, I don't know what you have to do. If you have to squint through your eyes or if you already know the verse, we're going to put that up there. I just want you to mutter that to yourself. But my God shall supply all. Just keep saying it to yourself. All my need. Make it personal. My God shall supply all my needs. You just do it yourself. You don't have to repeat after me. I want to get you in the habit. Reading this verse. Making it personal. Becoming more consumed with the what's been said than the how. My God will will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply. I mean, you do that enough, you'll get so stirred up, you'll start doing happy dances in your house. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. My God shall supply all my needs according to his. I don't care that it doesn't look like it. I don't care that it doesn't seem like there's a way. You said, Father, that you'll supply. Now, Debbie, pull up Psalms 103 in verse 3. Psalms 103 in verse 3. Hallelujah. You say, I don't know how on earth. The medicine's not going to do it. The doctors are saying this. So-and-so had it their whole life. They were faithful in church. They loved Jesus. I don't know how it could happen for me. But the Word says, he healeth all my diseases. He healeth all my diseases. I don't know how, but I know it can happen. Because he healeth all my diseases. He healeth all. Oh, but how? It doesn't matter how. He healeth all my diseases. But they're saying it's, nope, he healeth all my diseases. Praise God. Father, we are more consumed with what you have said rather than what and how it's going to be done. Father, we see in the Word the ones that were kept out were so consumed with the how, they never could get into what you had for them. But the ones that were only consumed with what you said, they received. They walked into more. They walked into greater. So, Father, we're going to do what Joshua 1:8 says. We're going to speak it. We're going to be in it, and we're going to do it. We're going to speak it. We're going to be in it, and we're going to do it. Day and night. We are going to make adjustments, Father God. We bless you tonight and honor you. I know everybody in this room has received Jesus, as far as to my knowledge, but if you haven't, or if you're listening by live stream, if there's anyone that can say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just raise your hand if there's anyone in here that wants to receive Jesus tonight? Anybody at all? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? I don't see any hands, and so I trust that we're all born again in here. But if by chance somebody's listening to the sound of my voice, they've not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray they would not pass from this life. And say, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? Just could simply say, Lord, I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. That's as simple as it needs to be. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Now, you can open your eyes. If you need a promise, you say, I don't know how to navigate through there. Text me, call me, email me. Stop me after service and say, Pastor, this is what I'm believing God for. I'm so consumed with the how, but I need to know what God has said so I can start muttering it, so I can start saying it, so I can start being it. I'll be glad to help you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we got some homework to do, don't we? Amen. But you know what's at the other end of that homework? Prosperity and good success. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. I trust you were blessed. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.